everybody. It's the Hockey News Prospect Podcast, and the voice you're hearing, it's not Edward Fraser's. It's Matt Larkin here with Ryan Kennedy. Edward is homesick. We hope he feels better. I'm hoping for his case it's that kind of cold where when you were in school, you had the cold where you were sick enough to stay home, but not so sick that you couldn't watch TV and play video games. So
the Price is Right flu.
The Price is Right flu. It's a perfect way to put it. Yeah, so we hope you have the Price is Right flu, Ed, and you're enjoying a Showcase Showdown right now. But we've got some prospects to talk about in the meantime. This week in the headlines, a bunch of nations announcing their World Junior Camp rosters, and with the announcements, of course, come some snubs. We'll start with Canada, Ryan, and a few that jumped out at me. I mean, Owen Tippett is the first name I saw because this is a guy who was good enough to make the Florida Panthers opening night roster, and he can't even make Canada's camp, let alone team. What's going on?
Yeah, that's a pretty wild one. And for me, I think the logic is that Team Canada has a very specific vision, and if Tippett wasn't going to fit into that vision, there was no point bringing him to camp. I mean, he's a known quantity. He's fast. He's got a great shot. He's got great size. A lot of scouts, even in his draft year, questioned his defensive awareness and his defensive play. And if you look at any Canadian national team during this current era, there's a premium on two-way play. So I can understand, even though it's pretty wild that he can be in the NHL, but he can't be in the World Junior team. We've seen things like this before. I mean, last year, Team USA didn't take Alex DeBrincat, and they knew Alex DeBrincat could score goals. Mm-hmm. That was not the question. And obviously, we've seen with Chicago that he can score goals. But I feel bad for Owen Tippett, but at the least, we know that he's got a promising career ahead of him.
Right. And if you're a Detroit Red Wings fan, I mean, Michael Rasmussen was one of the more polarizing picks of the first round last year. Some people thought it was a reach, and I feel like it can't be good news to see him not part of the camp roster. Is that too much doom and gloom? Am I exaggerating here, or should Detroit fans be worried about that?
Well, I'd say it's like a smidge of doom and gloom, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. I'm a little surprised only because Rasmussen has shown really good chemistry with Cody Glass and Cole Lind in the past, whether it was with prospect games or CHL Russia games, because all three of them play in the WHL. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe Canada would say, like, well, that's quick chemistry right there, and in a short tournament that might be useful. But again, there's so many weapons up front for Canada that, you know, Rasmussen, he's a very good player, and he's got a lot of two-way upside, and he's got that reach, but it just sort of felt like there wasn't a particular spot for him. And a couple of players that did make the camp roster that I'm intrigued by are Maxime Comtois, the Anaheim pick, and Tanner Kaspik, a St. Louis Blues prospect. These are guys where Comtois in particular is amazing on the penalty kill, and Kaspik is a great energy guy, and he can really sort of grind it out along with having some skill. I feel like Canada has an eye towards those quote-unquote bottom six players, even though they are very talented in their own right, and maybe they wanted guys like that, whereas with Rasmussen, he was more competing on a level with the Sam Steeles, the Cody Glasses, the Jordan Kyrous of the world, and that saw him on the outs.
And is that the same logic behind a snub like Cliff Poo, for example? Because I know he's got some dangling skill. He's an offensive player, Buffalo pick. Same fate for him, is that why?
I would say so. I think, you know, with Cliff Poo, even though he's been really hot for the London Knights, they've got other guys that can score. And, you know, unfortunately, just it becomes a numbers game with Team Canada sometimes.
With Team USA, I mean, I have to single out one name. I don't know if you guys listen to our regular podcast, you know the legend of Chad Kreese. I won't go into it again, but you can find it in a previous podcast, why we say his name that way. Why didn't he make Team USA? And who else was a snub that you noticed on Team USA, Ryan?
Well, with Chad Kreese, you know, he had some tough times with USA Hockey last year. It's very interesting. He made the World Junior team as an underager, and then last year he was cut. So I think Team USA has a particular angle on him right now. Like, he just didn't fit into their plans. And, you know, he's an offensive guy. He's a smart player. He can run a power play. But again, when you look at the weapons Team USA is going to have, Adam Fox, the Calgary pick, he's going to be your power play quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then you have Quinn Hughes, who's up for the 2018 draft this year. And I don't know if he makes the final roster, but I think he'll be given every chance to do so. Quinn Hughes is another undersized player that could really handle the puck and is a little more dynamic than Chad Kris. So I think this, again, became a matter of, you know, previous experience and what role he could be expected of. In terms of other snubs, there was not a lot that was egregious with Team USA, but I know some people were wondering why Oliver Wahlstrom didn't get a shot. And you could say the same for Joel Farabee as well. Both of them are 2018 draft picks. They're the two offensive drivers on the NTDP this year, and they've been playing very well. And, you know, traditionally we've seen Team USA reserve a spot or two for draft-eligible kids, and particularly guys from the program, because obviously they're very linked. But I think probably what happened this year is a couple of late birthdays took that spot. So Brady Tkachuk, for example, is there. He was from the NTDP, but now he's playing for Boston University. Quinn Hughes, same deal on defense, where he's with the University of Michigan, but he was with the NTDP last year. So I would suspect that with Wahlstrom and Farabee, you're going to see them next year for right, sure. That's right. Undoubted. Both have a great amount of offensive skill, and we'll see them at the World Under-18s for sure. They'll be the driving force there. But this year, you know, it's getting tougher for the Americans because the talent pool increases every year.
Right. And if Canada and especially the Americans are our favorites in this tournament, the other favorite's got to be Sweden. Who jumps out at you as a snub on the Swedish team? The Trey Kroner, if you will.
Yeah, the Trey Kroner. I mean, they're going to be very good. I mean, Elias Pettersson and Elias Andersson are going to lead them up front. And, of course, you got Rasmus Dahlin on the back end.
Falling for Dahlin.
And one player that I know some folks on Twitter wanted to see was Adam Boqvist. And, you know, we've talked about him on the Prospect podcast before. He's a very good, dynamic defenseman. He can also, you know, get back on D. He's responsible. I would say, you know, he's not right up there with Rasmus Dahlin, but he's not that far off either. And, you know, he's probably going to be the second or third defenseman taken in the draft. Now, why isn't he with Sweden? Well, my best analysis there is that Sweden tends to be very structured with their blue line. And Coach Thomas Monson actually made a comment about this the other day, so I think I'm on the right track here, where the Swedes have some really good offensively inclined defensemen. Rasmus Dahlin is obviously one. Erik Brännström, the Golden Knights pick, is another. And Timothy Liljegren, the Maple Leafs first rounder, is another. So that's three right there. And for me, it's like, well, why wouldn't you have as many skilled puck movers as you could? But the Swedes like to have more stay-at-home guys available. So you see Jacob Moverer get a bid, and you see Philip Westerlund get a bid, and a couple of other guys where, you know, they're more defensive guys, and, you know, maybe they have a little more size than some of these kids. Mm-hmm. But that's why Boqvist isn't there. And again, you're definitely going to see him next year, and he's going to be integral for other international teams for under-18s. But unfortunately for him, this is just not the year for the World Juniors.
Interesting trickle-down strategy. It's the same logic at the top level, World Cup and Olympics. Nicholas Hjalmarsson always makes the team.
Right.
He's the big, strong shot blocker.
But no John Klingberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
To me, the most interesting team in the tournament this year is the team that fired its coach mid-tournament last year, the year after it won the previous season, and the team that almost got relegated, Finland. So what's going on with them, and are there any noteworthy snubs there?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bounce-back year for the Finns. They were very young last year, and obviously the coaching was a spot of turmoil for them, but they are definitely motivated. I've spoken to a lot of them, and they do not want a repeat of last year's performance. One snub for me was Arni Talvitie. He was a New Jersey Devils pick, a late rounder at that, but he was dynamite at the World Junior Summer Showcase in Plymouth, Michigan, and I was pretty surprised that he didn't get a nod. He's having a decent season. Now, he is playing in Finland's Junior League, and the reason he's not playing in the Liga against men is because he's committed to Penn State University, so he can't play against pros. He didn't want to, you know, muck up his eligibility, so he's staying against juniors. I'm not sure if that was a factor at all, but I think one of the bigger things to remember is that in the summer showcase, the Finns were missing a lot of their top players. Like Miro Heiskanen was not there, Olli Juolevi was not there. They're both blue liners, but there was a trio forwards that were also unavailable. Eeli Tolvanen, who has been amazing in the KHL for Jokerit.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Vesalainen, the Winnipeg Jets pick, who's had a really nice bounce back season in Finland for HPK, and Aleksi Heponiemi, the Florida Panthers pick, plays in the WHL for Swift Current, is just obliterating everything in his path. I mean, the points he's putting up is insane, and I would even say that he helped his line mate Tyler Steenbergen get a bid to Canada's World Junior roster. And Steenbergen wasn't there in the summer, but he'll be there now. And so you're missing, that's basically a top line right there, even though, they're not necessarily going to play together. So when you toss in Yanni Kowakin in the Carolina Hurricanes pick and a couple of other guys they have, for the Finns, Talvidi's a 1999 birthday. He can be there next year, and he is an offensive guy. It's surprising to me, but if I'm justifying it in my mind, that's the reason.
So Ryan, you hit the road this week. You checked out a bit of OHL action between the Guelph Storm and Hamilton Bulldogs, and you had a chance to interview the coach of the Bulldogs, John Gruden, not to be confused with the Monday Night Football John Gruden, who loves everyone and everything. Exactly. Here's the interview. Let's give it a listen.
I'm here with Hamilton Bulldogs coach John Gruden. And coach, first of all, a big trade came down recently for your team. Nicholas Camano, the Dallas Stars pick, and Ryan Moore, a very good veteran, coming over from Flint. What does that mean for your team to have that infusion midway through the season?
Well, I think it just gives you a whole level of where we're at and what our commitment level is from our management perspective, and sending the message to our players that have worked so hard so far this year that we want to take that next step, and acquiring two guys that have that ability to make an impact are only going to make our team stronger. And then of course me having familiarity with them a couple years ago in Flint helps as well.
Excellent. And the Bulldogs are playing very well right now. Junior hockey, it's such a tight cycle. And I'm curious, as a coach, how long does it take you when you take over a job to really get your systems in place and get a team in the right direction as you have in the past 2 years in Hamilton?
Well, I think there's always growing pains within it. I think now we're at a different phase than we were, say, a year ago, or even at the end of last year. I think the familiarity that I have and obviously the support that I have with the coaching staff is huge. Actually add one more in Matsos and then implement more of what we've done. And then the guys are familiar with us, and they know what to expect on a daily basis. And then most importantly, they're coming to work every day. So that makes it easy on us, knowing that we don't have to motivate as much. We can just more get down on how we want to play and make that our focal point. So this year it's been a lot better as far as, okay, we have a couple bad games. We seem to get it back on track. So the highs aren't too high and the lows aren't too low.
Excellent. I want to ask you about a couple of your drafted players, starting with Will Bitton, the Montreal Canadiens prospect. Been here for a couple of years now. He's a junior veteran. What does he bring to this lineup?
Just energy. When he's moving his feet, I don't think there's a better one in the league as far as the tempo. And it's not just primarily on Wood. If he's on the score sheet, he can impact the game in so many different ways: penalty killing, power play, just getting it on the forecheck, hitting guys. So he brings so much to the locker room as well with his veteran leadership. So really lucky. His consistency has been much better, and that's a big reason why we've been more consistent as well, because of his leadership abilities and capabilities.
And Matthew Strome, obviously a famous family name, and I've been following him since minor midget. He's a Philadelphia Flyers pick now. How have you felt about Matthew's progression as a junior?
Matthew is so intelligent. His hockey IQ is off the charts. He continues to get himself growing to his body, working on his skating, getting into the weight room. So he's been really good in that regard. So for him to continue to take that next step is important for us, and he's done a nice job, and he's starting to find the back of the net, which is always a good sign for the Bulldogs.
Indeed. And World Juniors are coming up. Marian Studenich, I'm sure, will be there for Slovakia. He's a New Jersey Devils prospect. What has he meant to this squad?
He's, another great kid. Plays with a tremendous amount of pace. You can put him anywhere in any line, and it seems like he just makes that line better. So his game just continues to improve. He's stronger on pucks. And he really pushes back the opposition's defense with his speed. So he's another weapon. He fits in perfectly with what we're trying to do and how we want to play. So we wish him the best luck when he goes to the World Juniors.
Right on. I want to finish off just talking about goaltending for a bit. Caden Fulcher was not drafted, but then was signed by the Detroit Red Wings as a free agent. What sort of growth trajectory has he been on, and what do you expect from him as the season continues?
Well, he just looks from a year ago. I mean, just his confidence and the way his presence in the net is huge. It seems like this year, if a goal scored, nothing seems to take him off his focus and his mindset and his preparation. And he's outstanding. He just looks like a whole new goalie. I mean, he was good last year, but he's taken his game to another level with consistency, and now it allows him to play on 8 out of 10 games, and he just looks very comfortable in between the pipes.
And then Nick D'Onofrio, he's up for the draft this year. He's obviously your backup. He's had some pretty good starts. Obviously, it's going to be a long development curve. It is for all goaltenders. But what do you like about Nick's potential?
I like it a lot because he's just nothing seems to faze him. He has I call him the Big Easy, he just doesn't let things bother him a whole heck of a lot, whether it's practice or a game. And that's something that's, I think, for a goaltender, it's important to have. Like a quarterback, you got to forget real quick, because I got news for the goaltenders that are not ever get scored on in practice in a game. So you might as well get used to it and move on. And he seems like he has that really good mindset to be a goalie. I always say goalies are a little different. Well, he definitely is a little different, and he's a good one.
And finally, how cognizant are you about the development of your goaltenders? Obviously you want to win games, but you also have two, young goaltenders in terms of OHL experience. How do you sort of balance all those different needs?
Well, we kind of lean on, what our schedule's like. 3-3, we don't want guys playing 3 in a row. And then we'll talk to the goalie coach and our staff, and we'll kind of plan things out accordingly. We don't want to make it about wins and losses either. We want to make it about what's best for both of them to succeed.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Coach.
Anytime.
Time now for our 2018 draft spotlight. Up this week, it's Isaac Lundestrom. Tell us about him, Ryan.
Well, Lundestrom is a very interesting prospect. I saw him this summer at the World Junior Summer Showcase, and he was also named to Sweden's World Junior Camp roster. And I think he has a pretty good chance of making it, because this is a guy who has sort of made his bones on reliable two-way play. He's also got some nice offensive skills. So, I'm not saying he's going to be like a middle six guy. But I was just talking to an NHL scout who just returned from Sweden, where he was watching players. And he was very impressed by Lundestrom. Described him as a diligent two-way player, gets back on defense, he's good on face-offs, very reliable guy. And he said, he's about as safe a pick as will be made this year. So, I take that in the positive sense, because sometimes when you say safe pick, you think like, oh, well, the upside's not really there. I don't think that's the case with Lundestrom. I think he's the kind of guy where he's going to be a pro, he's going to get his points, but you can count on him. So, he might start his NHL career sooner than expected. He's a late 1999 birthday, so we're not going to see him at the World Under-18s, which is comes up later in the year. It's usually a very good spotlight. So if he makes the World Juniors, that's going to be his really good showcase. And another interesting thing is, I was talking to a European scout before the season began, asking him about Lundestrom, and again, he was a big fan, and he was like, yeah, they got him on wing, I'd like to see him play center this year. And sure enough, playing with Luleå in the SHL, he's been playing center recently, so the scouts are getting their wishes, they're seeing what he can do, and the fact that he's playing well and doing good on draws while playing against men, I think bodes very nicely for him.
Is it just me, or did you just describe the next Michael Backlund?
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, I would say that at this time, maybe there's a little more offensive upside in Lundestrom, and Backlund's probably a little more better on defense, but I'm also saying that through the lens of what Backlund has become.
Right.
You know, like there might be that sort of recency bias that Backlund has become such an excellent two-way player. But I mean, that's intriguing. And I would say, you know, Lundestrom is probably looking like he'll go somewhere in the 15 to 20 range in the draft right now. And, you know, teams are going to have to watch his progression and see what they get out of him. And again, see what the ceiling ends up being. But I think he could be one of those guys that goes in the second half of the first round that really pleases the franchise that takes him.
Next up, it's our team spotlight, and this is a team that has amassed a lot of intriguing prospects in recent years and has quite a checkered history. You've got your Matt Barzals blowing up, and you've got your Joshua Hosangs that are still projects. The New York Islanders, let's talk about them. And first off, what's going on with your European prospects at the moment?
Well, I would say Europe is one of the stronger parts of the Islanders' pipeline right now. And since we've been talking about World Juniors, I'll start with Robin Salo. He was their first selection in the 2017 draft, and it was in the second round. You know, we talked about Sweden having a good mix of players who are safe and offensive guys. Salo, in the summer at the World Junior Showcase, played on a pairing with Juuso Välimäki, the Calgary Flames pick. And Välimäki did a little more rushing. You know, Salo, he's a player that was pretty mature in his draft year, playing against men back home for Vasan Sport in Finland. I kind of like that there's a team just called Sport.
Yeah, me too.
I like the interesting European names. But he's just sort of a good two-way guy, you know, pretty safe in that respect. And, you know, the knock on him was scouts weren't sure what his ceiling would be, but I think what you're going to have, particularly at this World Juniors, is a guy that he might be your five or six defenseman because the Finns are so loaded back there, but he'll do a very nice job. Another Finn that we'll probably see on the team is Otto Koivula, playing for Ilves in Finland right now, putting up some pretty decent numbers. And again, he was at the showcase. He'll probably have to have a little more of a depth role just because of guys like Vesalainen and Tolvanen and some of the other guys I mentioned already and Heppo Niemi. But he's got some really nice size to him. And, you know, he moves pretty well for a guy who's like 6'4" already. So for Islanders fans, you know, this will be one of the few chances they can see him on the regular if he makes that roster, other than, you know, finding streams and GIFs online.
Mm-hmm.
And then rounding out Europe, New York has done a very good job finding goaltenders recently. And it's tough. It's the same with the Rangers, where when your best prospects are netminders, it's a little bittersweet because you know you're going to have to wait like 5-6 years to really get the full value out of them. But it's nice to have them when you need them. And Ilya Sorokin, he's been fantastic over in the KHL. Plays for CSKA Moscow, a.k.a. Red Army, one of the great traditional Russian teams. They're a powerhouse. It's basically them and SKA St. Petersburg this year and nobody else. Sorokin has put up stellar numbers. He's playing in the Channel 1 Cup for Russia, which is kind of a nice pre-Olympic tournament that's going on soon. And again, the sort of good news, bad news is that he's signed until April 2020. So the Islanders, realistically, unless they can work out something with Red Army, and I'm not really sure if that's going to happen because he is playing so well, you're not going to see him until basically the 2021 campaign. So tough one there, but you know, he's there for the future. And a player that would probably be some nice competition for him is Linus Soderstrom. Over in Sweden, this is a kid that played at the World Juniors and played very well. Very interesting story in that he is on the autism spectrum and got a lot of help from Hockey Sweden in making sure that they could maximize his talents and focus his energy, despite the fact that he sometimes has challenges with you know, new situations and focusing himself. So I talked to him at the World Juniors about this, and he was very happy with how coaches and teachers he's had growing up have helped him with that. And he's had some pretty good highs in his pro career. This year, his numbers aren't great. HV71 is kind of a middle table team. his stats aren't great, but, you know, he's a big goaltender, and he actually is, when he gets focused, it's a laser focus, and he actually said, like, you know, for hockey, you know, being on the spectrum has helped him at times because he can really concentrate on the task at hand. So I still think there's some potential there, and it'll be interesting to see where his career goes. But this year has been a bit of a hiccup.
And it's cool that there's going to be room for at least one of those two goalies because Yaroslav Halak's contract is up this year. I don't think he's going to come back. And Thomas Greiss is also signed to a pretty short-term extension. So there's going to be opportunities down the road for Soderstrom and or Sorokin. What about guys in the AHL with Bridgeport that are knocking on the door and have potential to crack the lineup right now with the Isles?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with Sebastian Aho. Not that Sebastian
Aho.
The other Sebastian Aho.
Somebody's got to change his name. Come on.
It's true. And it's kind of funny because he's actually Swedish, whereas the Carolina Hurricanes forward is obviously Finnish. It's kind of a Nicholas Backstrom situation.
Oh, yeah,
in that regard.
It is.
Sebastian Aho, who's actually older than the Finnish Aho, he was passed over in the draft a couple of times. I've seen him before. And he's an undersized offensive defenseman. My question with him was always, you know, can he play defense at the next level? You know, he didn't have the strength, and I wasn't really sure if he had the awareness at the time. But now that he's a bit older, obviously the Islanders were willing to take a chance on him, and he has been really good for Bridgeport. He's one of their leading scorers. He's one of the leading scoring defensemen in the AHL and one of the leading scoring rookies in the AHL. And just getting a lot of good opportunities to put points on the board and really making the most of it. A couple of other names to keep in mind, Mitch Van de Sompel, another defenseman who's more on the offensive side of things. He's putting up some pretty decent numbers in his first pro year. Had a very nice junior career, started off with the Oshawa Generals, ended it with the London Knights when they were bulking up for a deep playoff run. And be good to see what he can do. Another guy who doesn't have a ton of size to him, but can really make things happen on the power play. So Islanders have some options there. And then I have to talk about Michael Dal Cole because we've been waiting on him for a long time. Right now it feels like we got to keep waiting. His numbers are okay. In Bridgeport, he's not really making the sort of dent that you would expect from a player that was drafted as high as he was. But I still think that, you know, with his shot, if he can round out the rest of his game, there's something there. And I feel like, you know, the Isles organization, they just have to help him hone it. And I hope he gets there because it'll be fun to see him at the next level. But he's got to earn it. And I still think he needs a little more time.
What about over in Major Junior right now? Particularly, I know there's guys you're watching in the Dub.
Yeah, the Dub, a couple of players. Kiefer Bellows, who will most likely be a lock for the American World Junior team. He was there last year. He wasn't great at the tournament until the gold medal game. That was his best game. And he had been at Boston University. He was a freshman last year. It wasn't really working out. The Terriers were pretty deep. I don't think he was really happy with his role there. So he left over the summer, went to the Dub. He's with the Portland Winterhawks. That's where Cody Glass is. And Bellows has been putting up some really nice numbers. I'm not really a fan of a player going from NCAA to Major Junior because you're going from a circuit where some of your competition could be like 23 years old and they've been in the gym for 4 years, to going to a league where at the low end you're playing against 16-year-olds who might be like 155 pounds.
Yeah, guys who talk like this to guys who talk like this.
Exactly. So I think for Bellows, you know, what I would like to see is next year for him to go pro. I would like to see him get that challenge. And, you know, it's all about consistency for him because when he's on, he is on. You know, he can play physical. He can definitely shoot the puck and definitely create. So it's just a matter of really, like I said with Dal Cole, it's a matter of honing him and getting results on a consistent basis. And I think he has it in him, but it's just a matter of harnessing it. Another player, and some folks were surprised that he didn't get a nod for Canada's World Junior Camp, is David Quenneville. Very good, undersized offensive defenseman, playing for Medicine Hat in the dub. This is a guy that can put up a lot of points and plays bigger than he is. But I would say, you know, for him in the World Junior team, like Canada, the defense was just always going to be a tower of strength for them because they have returning guys like Jake Bean and Dante Fabro, and they have some other guys knocking on the door like Cal Foote that are very well regarded. So for Quenneville, I just don't think it was going to be in the cards, but I think he's been very good in his junior career so far, and there's some nice things to look forward to.
If you're a betting man, I mean, Matt Barzell blossoming this year has been one of the best stories to see. If you're betting between Michael Dal Colle, Kiefer Bellows, and, say, Josh Hosang, which one of those guys do you think is most likely to finally have the light come on and make it in the NHL?
I mean, that's a really good question. I feel like maybe Bellows, because he's already kind of gotten that shock of being on that BU team and not going straight to the top of the lineup. So I think that was a bit of a wake-up call for him. And if he can continue to play strong in Portland and if he can have a good World Juniors, then I think he'll be in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. With Hosang, I mean, he's been kind of an NHL tweener already. And I think a lot of the stuff surrounding him might be a little overblown. But I think Bellows might be the answer there.
All right. And lastly, in the college ranks, who's standing out to you right now among the Isles prospects?
Well, Ben Mrazek is an interesting player to watch. You know, they got him in the 2017 draft out of the USHL. He was decent when he was in the USHL. There was, you know, some nice things to watch, and he was a pretty athletic guy. Wasn't playing on, you know, top-end teams there. But he's with Providence College now, and he's putting up some pretty decent numbers for the Friars as a freshman. I believe he's their second-highest scoring defenseman. And that's a great program. You know, they have a recent national title to their credit. They're usually one of the better teams in Hockey East. And I know Hockey East is a little messier this year than it has been in the past, but still a lot of talent there, and you get some great coaching from Nate Lehman. So a good freshman start for Mrazek, and it'll be fun to see him develop.
All right, well, that's it for this week's Prospect Podcast. Thanks for listening, and Ryan, thanks for having me stop by to fill in for Mr. Edward Fraser. Ed is week to week with a full body injury, and you'll have to tune in next time to see if he's back. Thanks.